Well, as we've been hearing this morning, protesting farmers at factory gates could yet reject the deal that was agreed by the main farming organisations yesterday to end weeks of protest. The agreement came after seven farming bodies met Meat Industry Ireland, which represents the factories over the weekend, to discuss the protests which started on the 28th of July. However, while the main farming organisations are encouraging members to accept the agreement, there's been an increasing murmur of dissent among farmers, with one group, Independent Farmers of Ireland, set up to represent those at the factory gate, saying it would neither accept nor reject the proposals. We'll hear shortly from Gerard Goff from Independent Farmers for Ireland. He was actually in the negotiations. But for the latest development, I'll go first to Pat O'Toole, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Pat, just give us some of the details. Fill us in on the agreement that was reached after those 30 hours of talks, I think it was, the main point in this deal.
I suppose, without getting too technical, because the deal is quite technical, but there are two strands. One relates to structural issues in the food chain, examination of the food chain. That's sort of strand two. And that's quite important long-term work. One of the key, short-term outcomes from that is that a price index will become live very soon. It'll be done by Bord Bia, and that will show whether prices should be going up and down according to what's happening further down the food chain, whether farmer prices and cattle prices should be going up or down at the factory gates. But within the pricing, basically what's been agreed is farmers wanted the disparity between over and under 30 months to be abolished. There's a 12 cent payment for under 30 months.
In other words,
there's an 8 cent payment.
Sorry, just
there's
explain.
An 8 cent payment for the over 30 months, but the under 30 month cattle have also got an extra 8 cents. So what's happened is the bonuses have been increased across the board, but the disparity still exists.
Just explain this business about the 30 months.
Well, I suppose the 30 month limit originally came into place during BSE. Which is over 20 years ago now. We had a bigger crisis than we currently have in beef farming, the biggest crisis we ever had in beef farming, because of BSE being in Ireland and of the BSE epidemic in the UK. BSE only exhibited in older animals, so the measure that was brought in to protect our markets was to promote animals under 36 months and especially under 30 months.
Being killed.
And that still pertains. So there's a bonus payment for animals under 30 months, even though BSE has long been eradicated.
Right, so you get them slaughtered and you get a bonus if they're slaughtered before they reach the 30-month age.
Yes. And farmers believe that this is now an impediment on the market because they become forced sellers. As your animals are coming up to that age limit, the factories know that there's a lot of animals coming to that age limit at this time of the year. The animals all born in the spring 2.5 years ago, and they're able to manage the market because they know all these animals are out there, and farmers are approaching that kind of cliff face, to use the term that's in vogue at the moment, of the 30 month. So farmers want it just scrapped.
Yes, and there's a new bonus then if the animals are aged between 30 and 36 months, 8 cents a kilo. Now, what is that going to amount to in terms of what the farmers are paid for their animals?
Well, it's not insignificant, but what farmers would say is pales in comparison with the base price. If you take an animal, typical carcass, we say 320 kilos, that 8 cents a kilo then, that will amount to about 30 euros. So, you know, it's not nothing. And across, if you have a load of cattle, if you're bringing 15 cattle in, that mounts up into real money, 450 euros by my quick calculations.
Yes.
There. But what farmers are saying is the base price is still 60 to 70 euros below break even, or 60 to 70 cent a kilo below break even. And that this is really, to use that phrase, lipstick on a pig, that it's dressing up the overall package, but the base price, which is a crucial issue and is fundamental, is still way off base. And the farmers on the gates want movement on the base price, which was not discussed in the negotiations.
And that is something which presumably can be revisited. Now, there's another, a new bonus.
I'm not so sure, Sean. I think this is the crucial issue, because we've had two rounds of talks, and Meat Industry Ireland effectively locked the gates of the factories last Tuesday, locked farmers, protesting farmers out, and wound down business. And even where there were no protests in places like Clonee and Slaney and Buncloddy, they closed the gates and stopped processing. And it felt like a lockout. And Meat Industry Ireland have negotiated, they would say in good faith, farmers would say quite grudgingly, twice now, deals have been agreed. And if this deal falls down at the gates, the expectation that I would have, as someone who's been watching this from the start, is that Meat Industry Ireland will disengage from negotiations and will say, there's no point, there's no way of talking to the farmers at the gates, we're finished talking.
Okay, stay with us, Pat, because I want to go now to Ger Gough. I spoke to him just before we came on air. He is one of the spokespersons for Independent Farmers of Ireland. He was actually in the negotiations at the weekend when this deal was made. And I asked him a short time ago, was this agreement something that the Independent Farmers of Ireland in the room had actually signed up for?
It was a document that we all agreed on. But when we arrived in the room the first day, we told the minister that, and the chairman, that we were there to represent the farmers, the independent farmers at the gates and at the factories, and that what was going to be agreed was going to be brought back to the farmers for the farmers to adjudicate on whether it was acceptable or not.
Yes, but there seems to have been a lot of surprise that a couple of hours after the agreement was reached that you put out a statement saying that the farmers of Ireland, independent farmers, could not accept or reject these proposals. That doesn't seem to have got across when the meeting was still underway.
Yeah, well, it was, because we neither could accept nor reject, because we said that there was good things in it, but we had to leave it to the farmers to... We were trying to be bullied into a corner when it was all said and done, that this is the document and this is the way it's going to be. On any picket line, you have to go back to whoever is picketing and say, listen, lads, is this acceptable or not?
So you are somebody who was on the picket line in recent weeks. So is it acceptable to you on a personal level?
On a personal level, there's some very good points in it for starting. But the biggest problem we have with the farmers at the moment is a fear factor. That the trust. They cannot trust the factories. They cannot trust Meat Industry Ireland. They're afraid that, fine, we sign up for a deal today, bang, it's going to be gone tomorrow. Now, we have a bit of trust built into it in the deal at the moment. If it's worked on, fine. But now, the other part was, when I was trying to sell it last night, what the farmers couldn't understand was why Meat Industry Ireland and the factories didn't come to the table, cross-party or round-table talks, and discuss it with them individually.
There was never any face-to-face contact with them?
There wasn't. And they find this, they still find, they said to me last night, I was at the gates at 2 o'clock this night in Ballyhonus trying to sell this deal, not a simple task, and they said, why didn't they come round the table? What are they afraid of when they didn't come round the table from the farm organisations? Now, the farm organisations as well, they couldn't... We got round the table with all the farm organisations, and there's a lot of splinter groups there, and one broke away from the other in times gone by, and one did this and one did that, and different agendas, which wasn't simple. It wasn't simple when they were even trying to negotiate between themselves. But we did get a unified voice on certain things.
Yes, and Ger, as you said, you went down to Ballyhonus to try to sell this. I mean, what are the good things as far as you're concerned?
Well, the good things is that we got a little crack in the 30 months rule. The 30 to 36 month rule. We got a crack there for it to go forward as it's a start. That's it.
You have members in your group that you tried to persuade to come off the pickets. Now, what is the position this morning?
The position this morning, I believe, in more than one factory around the country, is that it's a kind of a wait and see. Is there any other little bit of movement for the base price? It's fair. It's the base price is the thing. What did you get, lads? Did you get a price? And the price is mentioned over and back.
What's your answer to that question?
What's my answer to that question is that we have to... my answer to that question was we can see whether we can do, whether the factories can give a commitment to maybe a little bit more, or whether they can express themselves and come out and sell the deal themselves and say, listen, lads, we're starting on the base and we'll be honest with you, and we cannot give any more at the moment. But the other factor is that they're afraid of it falling back down to 330 or 320 or that, with the excuse of Brexit or whatever it is.
Are you calling on farmers to come off the picket?
I gave the commitment to the minister that I'd try and sell the deal. And that's genuinely what I did last night in Ballyhonest. I told them, they asked me what good points was in it or what did I see in it. And I said, yes, I said, there is good starting blocks there. But the trust part of it is there that they cannot trust
and
the factories.
Just what is happening in Ballyhonest this morning, Ger? I mean, are the pickets still there?
I believe they are now. We had a long few days, so I haven't been in touch with. I haven't touched base with many this morning.
So as of now, though, I mean, is it your view that the best thing is for them to put down their pickets and go home and just study this a bit more?
No, my view is for them to study this a bit more.
And
to study this a bit more and look at the detail of it and go forward from there.
Yeah,
we'll talk more and we'll see are the farmers happy.
But you're not being very clear, Ger.
That's what I say, Sean.
Yeah, but it's like
I'm one.
Yeah, but you say you told the minister you would go and try and sell this deal.
Yes.
But you're stopping short of asking people to come off the pickets.
Well, my initial view was that I've told them that my view would be my personal view would be to go ahead and come off the pickets. Yes.
For you, but what about the people who are still there in Ballyhonus?
Well, the people that are there in Ballyhonus are there night and day, and it's not my it's. Like, be fair, like, it's they have to live as well, so there's some very intelligent men there, and they have to make up their own minds. We're independent farmers, you can see it's in the name.
Yeah, how many people are part of the Independent Farmers of Ireland group?
There is no, how many thousand farmers are out to the gates, that's what's in the group. It's not a group.
I see.
There was three spokespersons taken from the factories there around the factories that were on picket
to go to the talks.
You were one
of the three, and you.
And they were being set up, and that was when there was 9 or 10 factories on picket.
And
now there was 22.
Right, but
Leaf Plan were there as well, and they accepted it, and they tried to sell their. They went to 5 or 6 different factories last night, and I'm not sure how they got on.
But so you told
on behalf of the farmers, and that's what happened before, and it arrived back at the same thing again.
So you told the minister you would try to sell it, Ger. I'm just wondering, did the other two representatives of the Independent Farmers of Ireland make a similar promise to the minister?
They did. That was our to go and sell it to the factory gate.
So the three of you in the room said you would go out and sell it, but as soon as you got outside the room, were there other influences which pulled you back from that and said you could neither support nor oppose it?
No, there was nobody outside the room that told us any such thing. We knew going out the door that it was going to be a hard sell.
Okay,
you went out the door when it was going to be hard. That it was going to be hard to sell. There was matters there that fine we could look at. Fine, we can look at. And there's going to be a review there in 3 months' time. And I thought that would swing it for a lot of the farmers. And I stressed that point last night. And it is a good point there. If there's a review taken there in 3 months' time, that it will help the thing. If there's a new regulator there, and if the regulator has teeth and can do its job and let be seen to be doing its job, it will. But the main problem is that the factories in general didn't step up to the mark to solve the problem. And we're at below cost. Sean, we have to realise that we're at below cost on even Chagas levels. And they're a government body, so I'm sure they hadn't it too high as such for starting. So they'd have it well back, they've tweaked as good as they can. But below, we have to remember we're below cost. And the farmer is used to being selling below cost, but that's fine. But it's a good bit below cost. And I think that's where the problem is.
And that was Gerard Goff from the Independent Farmers of Ireland. Pat O'Toole, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journalist, still on the line. Pat, what do you make of all that?
Well, I'm just going to refer you to the very last comment he made there about farmers' incomes. He's correct that Chagas analysed them. The National Farm Survey is done by Chagas, who are the advisory training and research body for Irish farmers. They're a state agency. But that's a very deep survey done where they interview hundreds of farmers representative of the broad sweep of farming, and they delve deeply into the accounts. But Ger described that, and he's doing a very good job under pressure, but he described that as being, you know, that it wouldn't be overestimating. He basically was suggesting that the Chagas would be sort of giving on behalf of the government figures that wouldn't be that sympathetic to farmers. The level of distrust and suspicion, the idea that the CSO also do analysis, and the IFA actually, and all three, their farm income figures would tally very closely. So the fact that they distrust Chagas, that the fact that they, like, the factories didn't talk face to face, because my understanding is
point,
they came 40 hours of face to face talks the first time, and it fell apart within 5 days. So when I said earlier that the factories had to be dragged into the room by the minister, that's really what happened, and they had no intention of meeting the farm groups. We have seven farm groups there. The independent farmers, to give a context, nine of the protesting factories, and there were 20 at the time, met this night 2 weeks ago in Ballacolla, three representatives from each of nine factories. As I understand it, two of the representative groups that didn't participate in the voting, the selection of representatives, because they didn't know the other people in the room. So you had a maximum of 21 people representing seven pickets, picking three negotiators who went in. Now, Ger's given a very good account of himself there this morning, but from a standing start, he now has equal standing with, say, Joe Healy, the president of IFA, who's got 70,000 members, or the beef clan chairs, Hugh Doyle and Eamon Corley. They've been around for a year. They were the firebrand organisation just 2 months ago. They have 20,000 members on WhatsApp groups, and they're regarded as dangerously midstream.
Okay, One last question to you. What is the position this morning as we speak at the meat factories? Are there pickets at many of them?
There are pickets at, I think that, I don't know of any pickets that have stood down since yesterday afternoon. And looking at the WhatsApp groups and the conversations, they're talking about having meetings, but the mood is very volatile. Huge distrust, not just of meat processors, but huge distrust of government agencies and of the mainstream farm organisations.
One last brief question. Is this likely to flare at the ploughing starting tomorrow?
Well, there's a huge fear around that. Like, the reality is that if this deal breaks down, I don't see where the room is to restart negotiations. The idea that the factories can give a little more is wonderful in theory, but I don't see the space where there's going to be give and take from either side in the coming days or perhaps even weeks if this deal breaks down.
Thank you indeed for joining us. That's Pat O'Toole there of the Irish Farmers Journal. My thanks as well to Gerard Goff of Independent Farmers for Ireland. We're going to hear from two extraordinary women after this short break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.